After a while, they came to a belt of tall and very ancient oaks, and beyond these to a high thorn hedge, through which you could neither see nor scramble.
"You had better wait here," said the wizard to the dwarves, "and when I call or whistle, begin to come after me. You will see the way I go, but only in pairs, mind, about 5 minutes between each pair of you. Bomba is fattest and will do for two, so he had better come alone and last. Come on, Mr. Baggins, there is a gate somewhere round this way." And with that he went off along the hedge, taking the frightened hobbit with him.
They soon came to a wooden gate, high and broad, beyond which they could see gardens and a cluster of low wooden buildings, some thatched and made of unshaped logs, barns, stables, sheds, and a long low wooden house. Inside, on the southward side of the great hedge, were rows and rows of hives with bell-shaped tops made of straw, the noise of the giant bees flying to and fro and crawling in and out filled the air. The wizard and the hobbit pushed open the heavy creaking gate and went down a wide track towards the house. Some horses, very sleek and well-groomed, trotted up amongst the grass and looked at them intently with very intelligent faces. Then off they galloped to the buildings.
"They have gone to tell him of the arrival of strangers," said Gandalf.
Soon they reached a courtyard, three walls of which were formed by the wooden house and its two long wings. In the middle there was lying a great oak trunk with many lopped branches beside it. Standing near was a huge man with a thick black beard and hair and great bare arms and legs with knotted muscles. He was clothed in a tunic of wool down to his knees and was leaning on a large axe. The horses were standing by him with their noses on his shoulders.
"Ah, here they are," he said to the horses. "They don't look dangerous. You can be off."
He laughed a great rolling laugh, put down his axe and came forward.
"Who are you and what do you want?" he asked gruffly,
standing in front of them and towering tall above Gandalf. As for Bilbo, he could easily have trotted through his legs without ducking his head to miss the fringe of the man's brown tunic.
"I am Gandalf," said the wizard. "Never heard of him," growled the man. "And what's this little fellow?"
he said, stooping down to frown at the hobbit with his bushy black eyebrows.
"That is Mr. Baggins, a hobbit of good family and unimpeachable reputation," said Gandalf.
Bilbo bowed. He had no hat to take off and was painfully conscious of his many missing buttons.
"I am a wizard," continued Gandalf. "I have heard of you, if you have not heard of me, but perhaps you have heard of my good cousin Radagast, who lives near the southern borders of Mirkwood."
"Yes, not a bad fellow as wizards go, I believe. I used to see him now and again," said Bourne, "but now I know who you are, or who you say you are. What do you want?"
"To tell the truth, we have lost our luggage and nearly lost our way, and are rather in need of help, or at least of advice. I may say we have rather a bad time with goblins in the mountains."
"Goblins," said the big man less gruffly. "Oho, so you've been having trouble with them, have you? What did you go near them for?"
"We did not mean to. They surprised us at night in a pass which we had to cross. We were coming out of the lands over west into these countries. It is a long tale."
"Then you'd better come inside and tell me some of it, if it won't take all day," said the man, leading the way through a dark door that opened out of the courtyard into the house.
Following him, they found themselves in a wide hall with a fireplace in the middle. Though it was summer, there was a wood fire burning and the smoke was rising to the blackened rafters in search of the way out through an opening in the roof. They passed through this dim-lit hall, lit only by the fire and the hole above it, and came through another, smaller door into a sort of veranda propped up on wooden posts made of single tree trunks. It faced south and was still warm and filled with the light of the westering sun, which slanted into it and fell golden on the garden full of flowers that came right up to the steps. Here they sat on wooden benches while Gandalf began his tale, and Bilbo swung his dangling legs and looked at the flowers in the garden, wondering what their names could be and if he had never seen half of them before.
"I was coming over the mountains with a friend or two," said the wizard.
"Or two? I can only see one, and a little one at that," said Bjorn.
"Well, to tell the truth, I did not like to bother you with a lot of us until I found out if you were busy. I will give a call, if I may."
"Go on, call away."
So Gandalf gave a long, shrill whistle, and presently Thorin and Dorry came round the house by the garden path and stood bowing low before them.
"One or three you meant, I see," said Bjorn. "But these aren't hobbits, they're dwarves."
"Thorin Oakenshield at your service, Dorry at your service," said the two dwarves, bowing again.
"I don't need your service, thank you," said Bjorn, "but I expect you need mine. I'm not over fond of dwarves, but if it's true that you are Thorin, son of Thrain, son of Thor, I believe, and that your companion is respectable, and that you are enemies of goblins and are not up to any mischief in my lands, what are you up to, by the way?"
"They are on their way to visit the land of their fathers, away east beyond Mirkwood," put in Gandalf, "and it is entirely an accident that we are in your lands at all. We were crossing by the high pass that could have brought us to the road that lies to the south of your country when we were attacked by the evil goblins, as I was about to tell you."
"Go on telling then," said Bjorn, who was never very polite.
"There was a terrible storm. The stone giants were out hurling rocks, and at the head of the pass we took refuge in a cave, the hobbit and I and several of our companions."
"Do you call two several?"
"Well, no. As a matter of fact, there are more than two."
"Where are they? Killed? Eaten? Gone home?"
"Well, no. They don't seem to have all come from when I whistled. Shy, I expect. You see, we were very much afraid that we were rather a lot for you to entertain."
"Go on, whistle again. I'm in for a party, it seems, and one or two more won't make much difference," growled Bjorn.
Gandalf whistled again, but Nori and Ori were there almost before he'd stopped, for if you remember, Gandalf had told them to come in pairs every 5 minutes.
"Hello," said Bjorn. "You came pretty quick. Where are you hiding? Come on, my jack-in-the-boxers."
"Nori, at your service. Ori at..." they began, but Bjorn interrupted them.
"Thank you. When I want your help, I'll ask for it. Sit down, and let's get on with this tale, or it'll be supper time before it is ended."
"As soon as we were asleep," went on Gandalf, "a crack at the back of the cave opened. Goblins came out and grabbed the hobbit and the dwarves and our troop of ponies."
"Troop of ponies? What are you, a travelling circus? Or were you carrying lots of goods? Or do you always call six a troop?"
No. As a matter of fact, there were still more than six ponies, for there were more than six of us. And, well, here are two more."
Just at that moment, Balin and Dwalin appeared and bowed so low that their beards swept the stone floor. The big man was frowning at first, but they did their very best to be frightfully polite and kept on nodding and bending and bowing and waving their hoods before their knees in proper dwarf fashion, till he stopped frowning and burst into a chuckling laugh. They looked so comical.
"Ah, Troop was right," he said. "A fine comic one. Come in, my merry men. And what are your names? I don't want your service just now, only your names, and then sit down and stop wagging."
"Balin and Dwalin," they said, not daring to be offended, and sat flop on the floor, looking rather surprised.
"Now go on again," said Bjorn to the wizard.
"Where was I? Oh, yes, I was not grabbed. I killed a goblin or two with a flash."
"Good," growled Bjorn. "It is some good being a wizard, then."
"And slipped into the crack before it closed. It followed down into the main hall, which was crowded with goblins. The great goblin was there with 30 or 40 armed guards. I thought to myself, even if they were not all chained together, what can a dozen do against so many?"
"A dozen? That's the first time I've heard eight called a dozen. Or have you still got some more jacks that you haven't come out of their boxes?"
"Well, yes. There seem to be a couple more here now. Filly and Killy, I believe," said Gandalf, as these two now appeared and stood smiling and bowing.
"That's enough," said Bjorn. "Sit down and be quiet. Now go on, Gandalf."
So Gandalf went on with the tale until he came to their fight in the dark, the discovery of the lower gate, and their horror when they found that Mr. Baggins had been mislaid.
"We counted ourselves and found that there was no hobbit. There were only 14 of us left."
14? That's the first time I've heard one from 10 leave 14. You mean 9, or else you haven't told me yet all the names of your party." Well, of course, you haven't seen Oyen and Gloin yet, and bless me, here they are. I hope you will forgive them for bothering you.
Oh, let them all come. Hurry up. Come along, you two, and sit down. But look here, Gandalf. Even now we have only got yourselves and 10 dwarves and the hobbit that was lost. That only makes 11 plus one mislaid, and not 14, unless wizards count differently to other people. But now, please get on with the tale.
Bjorn did not show it more than he could help, but really he had begun to get very interested. You see, in the old days, he had known the very part of the mountains that Gandalf was describing. He nodded and he growled, and when he heard of the hobbit's reappearance, and of their scramble down the stone slide, and of the wolf ring in the woods. When Gandalf came to their climbing into trees with the wolves all underneath, he got up and strode about and muttered,
I wish I'd been there. I would have given them more than fireworks.
Well, said Gandalf, very glad to see that his tale was making a good impression, I did the best I could. There we were with the wolves going mad beneath us, and the forest beginning to blaze in places when the goblins came down from the hills and discovered us. They yelled with delight and sang songs making fun of us. 15 birds in 5 fir trees.
Good heavens, growled Bjorn. Don't pretend that goblins can't count. They can. 12 isn't 15, and they know it.
And so do I. There were Biffa and Boffa as well. I haven't ventured to introduce them before, but here they are.
In came Biffa and Boffa.
And me,
gasped Bombador, puffing up behind. He was fat and also angry at being left till last. He refused to wait 5 minutes and followed immediately after the other two.
Well, now there are 15 of you, and since goblins can count, I suppose that it is all that there were up in the trees. Now, perhaps we can finish this story without any more interruptions.
Mr. Baggins saw how very clever Gandalf had been. The interruptions had really made Bjorn more interested in the story, and the story had kept him from sending the dwarves off at once like suspicious beggars. He never invited people into his house, if he could help it. He had very few friends, and they lived a good way away, and he never invited more than a couple of these to his house at a time. Now he had got 15 strangers sitting in his porch. By the time the wizard had finished his tale and had told of the eagle's rescue and of how they had all been brought to the Carrack, the sun had fallen behind the peaks of the misty mountains and the shadows were long in Bjorn's garden.
A very good tale, said he, the best I've heard for a long while. If all beggars could tell such a good one, they might find me kinder. You might be making it all up, of course, but you deserve a supper for the story all the same. Let's have something to eat.
Yes, please, they all said together. Thank you very much.